Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Good evening, everybody. Well, it's been a great night so far already. This is really, really hot. Merry Christmas to all of you. My name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church. We're just so glad to have each and every one of you with us this morning. Why don't you give yourselves a great hand? See so many friends, family members, new faces. Just glad to have each and every one. Why don't you just reach to the person next to you, give them a high five, and say, are you ready to eat like crazy? I know the kids are ready to open presents. Any kids ready to open presents? Yeah, all right. All right, well, I'm going to do my best. Craig was amazing. The worship band was amazing. I'm going to do my best to not be boring while I'm up here sharing some word with you. But here's the deal. I'll try not to be boring. You try not to be a boring audience, all right? Will you do that for me? All right. This month, we've been teaching a series to help us understand that we are not alone in this life, that God is with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 contains our key verse for this series, and it actually contains the Christmas story. This is what it says, Matthew 1, 18. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break off the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Verse 23, look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give a birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, come on, say it with me, God is with us, right? And so it brings me such great comfort tonight to know that no matter what I'm going through in my life, that God is never going to leave me and he's never going to forsake me. How many of you are glad about that this evening? Throughout the scriptures, there are many names attributed to God, and each one of those names gives us a deeper insight into who he truly is. His name, Jesus, simply means Savior or God saves. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, meaning that he is the Anointed One. He is the King of Kings. And then we just read another name attributed to him, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And from the beginning of time, God's desire has been to connect with you and with me. When he created Adam and Eve and he placed them in the Garden of Eden, he was with them. And scripture tells us that every day he would walk with them and he would talk with them. And that happened every single day until Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, and they subsequently made the choice to hide from him. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, after this happens and they're hiding, God literally calls out to Adam and Eve after they had sinned, and he says, where are you guys? And it's important that we understand that even in their sin and even in their disobedience, God didn't stop pursuing them. Are you thankful that God is still pursuing you today? Yes. He still wanted, he still desired to be in relationship with them. And as you read through the pages of this book, through the Bible, you'll discover that the message of the Bible is not about the desire of man to be with God. Over and over we read stories how it is the desire of God to be with us. A story is told about a pastor who was taking a trip. This wasn't me, but after he had taken his seat, his assigned seat on the airplane, a businessman walked down the aisle, sat down, took the seat right next to him. He opened up his laptop, and on the laptop, on his desktop, was a picture of this sweet, smiling little boy. And after a few minutes, the pastor learned that the picture was of this man's son, his only child. And with great excitement, the man went on to brag about his son and about his first steps, about his first words. He showed the pastors pictures of his little boy on his phone. And then he pulled up more pictures from the computer and he displayed them one at a time, giving a detailed commentary about each and every single image. Not wanting to be rude, the pastor listened, but truthfully, he was getting quite bored of the conversation. Anybody ever been flipping through pictures and you're quite bored? When will you shut up already? Come on, you're in church. Don't lie in church. I know some of you have thought that, right? Right, yeah. And so most of the pictures were ordinary. There was nothing really of note. And the father exclaimed to the pastor, "I just can't wait to get home to my son. I could look at these pictures all day long and they'll never get old to me." The pastor thought to himself, why is this man so preoccupied with this boy? His achievements really aren't that impressive. Millions of kids do the same things each and every day, but through the eyes of this loving father, everything his boy did was seen with wonder and seen with joy. It didn't matter what the other children did. It didn't matter that they did the same things as he, beamed with pride. That's my boy. And after what felt like an eternity of listening to all the stories, the pastor responds to the businessman, "You obviously miss your son." Thinking that he had been away for quite some time on business, he asked the question, "How long ago did you have to leave home?" To which the man replied, "Yesterday." Yesterday. As far as he was concerned, one single day away from his son was one day too many. He wanted to get home because he wasn't content to love his child from a distance. He wanted to be with him. And I want to tell you tonight, such and so much more is the love that our perfectly heavenly Father has towards you and towards me. If we have the ability this evening to look up into heaven and look at God's, you know, decked out MacBook Pro with all the processors that you could ever have in the world, I bet all of our pictures are rotating on the screensaver tonight. The tiniest details of our lives never grow old with Him. Let me prove it to you. Matthew 10:30 tells us, "The very hairs on your head are all numbered." Now, some of us, that number isn't very high. But the average head is covered with 100,000 hair follicles. And it's not just that God knows how many hairs you have, but that they've also been assigned a number. That's how much God loves you and me. And over through scriptures, God repeats this promise, "I am with you." He was with Adam and Eve. Enoch walked with God. Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, Mary and his disciples all heard the same thing. And so what does it mean? What does it mean to have God with us? I want to share a few things. If you've opened your sermon service guide, there's a sermon outline. You can take some notes if you'd like to. But here's the first thing. Number one, God with us means that I can face every situation of my life with courage and assurance. Because I'm not on my own, I can face every situation that life brings at me with courage and assurance. When Joshua was anointed to become the new leader of the Israelites, this is what it says. "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you." Watch this. "Wherever you go." In fact, some of Jesus' last words to his disciples right before he ascends to heaven in Matthew 28:20, he says to them, "Be sure of this. I am with you," what? "Always. always, even to the end of the age. And I want to encourage you tonight, this is God's promise, and the promise still rings true today, December 23rd, 2018. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. And so wherever you are, regardless of what valley, regardless of what wilderness or what storm or what season you might be walking through, I want to encourage you tonight because God is with you. And while parents and loved ones and friends may hurt you and let you down, listen, God is one who will never abandon you. And the Christmas season brings us great hope because it is a reminder to us that we don't have to face any situation that may arise in 2019 on our own. When difficult times come, when we lose a job, when we lose someone that we love so much, He is with us. When our marriage seems to be falling apart, He is with us. When our children are sick, when maybe one of us are fighting a debilitating illness, even in those dark seasons, in those dark times, we can rest knowing that God is with us. We are not alone. David wrote in Psalms chapter 9, verse 9, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed. He is a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you." Watch this. "For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." God with us means we can face every situation with courage and assurance because we're not walking this journey alone. Are you glad about it today? Amen. Here's the second thing, number two. Number two, God with us means that I don't have to worry about being overcome by failure. I don't have to worry about being overcome by failure. So many of us in this room are afraid of walking into, of stepping into what we know we've been placed on this earth to do. And because we're afraid to make mistakes, we just kind of sit back. We're afraid about all of the what ifs. What if I fail? What if I don't succeed? Or maybe we get the courage and we'll take like a little half step, but then we get discouraged because obstacles rise up in our way. But I love Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." This is God speaking. "Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Jeremiah 15:20 says, "They will fight against you like an attacking army, but I will make you as secure as a fortified wall of bronze. They will not conquer you." Watch this again. "For I am with you to protect you and rescue you. I, the Lord, have spoken." How many of you have some situations in your life that you want God to rescue you from going into 2019? God is with us. And there are some of us in the room tonight that we've allowed ourselves to listen to the wrong voice in our lives. But I want you to hear me tonight. God has already given us the victory. Listen, I've read to the end of the book. And if you're on God's team, you are on the winning team. You don't even have to wait for game day to come. I know that I'm an overcomer, and I know that I'm a winner, and I know that God is going to bring me through. God with us means we can face every situation with courage and assurance. It means that we don't have to worry about failure. Here's number three, the third one. God with us means that I will succeed through the difficult seasons of life. And I want you to hear me tonight. Just because things are tough, and I know some of you have walked in and things are so difficult and things seem to be falling apart. Just because things are tough, it does not mean that God isn't with you. We need to hold on to the promise that if God is for me, if God is with me, tell me who then can be against me. This is one of my favorite passages in all of the Bible, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. It says this. It says, "Listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Verse 2, when you go through deep waters, anybody here ever go through deep waters in life? Watch this. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, and I know there are some of you this year, 2018, you've walked through, it seems like your life is a living hell. In fact, that's what some of us describe it as. We're going through the fire, but watch what it says. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Verse 3, for I am the Lord your God. Somebody clap your hand for that promise. God with us. The presence of the storm, the presence of a trial, doesn't mean that God is not there. Because even when the flood waters rise, you will not drown. He'll bring you through. Even though fire of oppression may rise up against you, God says, I will not let the flames consume you. Psalms 27:5, it says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. God with us means that we can face every situation with courage and assurance, that we don't have to worry about failure, and that we're going to succeed even in the difficult seasons. Here's the last one. God with us, number 4. God with us means that I can continually experience the wonder of limitless joy. We can experience limitless joy. I want you to hear me tonight. That's the reason. That's the reason we celebrate. That's the reason for the season. We don't have to exist in a downtrodden, in a beat up, in a woe is me way. In fact, when Jesus walked the earth, this is what he said, John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so are you tired this evening? Are you weary? In the midst of the hustle and bustle of this season, have you found yourself looking and longing to find the true meaning of it all? Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. God with us. Joy, peace, courage, hope, strength, love, encouragement, safety, healing. I want you to hear me tonight. Everything that you could possibly need is found in him. And he is with us. People will line up for hours at the Vatican to view Michelangelo's paintings in the Sistine Chapel. And one of the scenes is a depiction of God and Adam. And if you study that particular painting in detail, you'll discover that the artist depicts God making a great deal of effort to extend towards Adam. He's twisting his body to move and get as close to the man as possible. His head is turned towards him and his gaze is fixed on him. And God's arm in the painting is stretched and his fingers extended straight forward as if to reach out to Adam. You can almost sense that God he's attempting to close the gap between himself and mankind. And it's almost as if he cannot wait, and his hand literally comes within inches of Adam's hand. And it appears that Michelangelo wanted to express God's determination to reach out and connect with the one that he created. God is as close as he can possibly be, but with that being said, he allows just a little bit of space to give Adam the ability to choose. And on the other hand, when you look at the image of Adam, his body is reclined. He's sort of in a laid-back pose. He's leaning backwards. His, as if to show that he has little interest in making the connection. His arm is kind of like partially extended towards God, like all he'd have to do is just simply lift a finger. But it appears that he's indifferent. It appears that he's not very interested. And it's almost as if Michelangelo wanted to make the point that it wasn't Adam pursuing God, but rather that God was loving, seeking, and pursuing mankind. And I want you to hear me tonight. The Christmas story really shows us the exact same thing. God robed himself in flesh and he came to earth to pay for mankind's sin, all so that we could be in a relationship with him. And this has always been God's desire. He wants us to draw near to him. And so the big question before all of us tonight is, are we willing to let him be the Lord of our life? The pastor I grew up under, Frank Tamil, would often say as he was closing services down, he would say, God is a gentleman. He'll respect your wishes. He'll not force himself into your life. While he wants to be near us, the choice is still ours to make. And so tonight, I know there's lots of distractions. If you could just try to just block those out for just a minute. Every head bowed and every eye closed. There are those here who realize that you've not made that choice. You've not yet devoted your life to follow Jesus. And amidst all the craziness of the Christmas season, while the radio is blaring happy songs and jingle bells are everywhere you turn, inside you're here tonight and you're hurting and you're broken. Perhaps you have everything externally in your life that should bring you happiness, but still you come into this season right before Christmas and still you feel empty. The reason that God robed himself in flesh, the reason that he was born in a dirty little stable was to come and settle and pay the debt for your sin and for my sin, to pay the debt that you and I owed. Jesus came to take our place. He came to shed his innocent blood on our behalf. So tonight, if you want to be made clean, if you want to have your sins washed away, I can think of no better time than right now to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. So there are many in this room who need to receive the forgiveness that Jesus has for you. And I want to tell you, he's already paid for your sins. You just need to simply surrender the control of your life to him and begin and start a relationship with him today. And so if you're here today and you say, you know what, Andrew, that sounds great. I need to receive that. I don't want to live my life alone. I don't want to walk through the difficulties that I'm going through alone. If that's the way that you feel, I want to pray for you tonight. And so with no one looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's me, why don't you just show me that sign by just lifting up your hand. Is there anybody here who would say, yes, I'm ready to make that step today? Man, it's hands all over the place. This is the greatest decision. This is the greatest decision. I see your hand in the back. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's just take a moment, all of us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming to earth. Lord, I thank you for coming to earth to pay the debt that I owed. And so, Lord Jesus, tonight, I give you my heart. I give you all the broken pieces. Lord, I don't even know how I'm going to make it forward, but Lord, I present it to you as an offering. Lord, I extend my hands before you, Jesus. And I give you my heart. I give you my life. Lord Jesus, I pray today that you would wash and cleanse our sins. Lord, that you would purify us, Lord Jesus. Lord, today we make the choice, we make the step, we repent, and all that word means is we turn around and we make the choice to start to move towards you. Thank you for new life today. Thank you for loving us. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.